Good evening. Comment again concerning the singing. Justice.
So good. I really like your volume, and you ladies that sing out is just so beautiful. Always find, always found this to be true, that it seemed like if the volume is there, the spirit is much easier to be there. You have to sing in spirit. So many times, you know, if the volume's not there, you just kind of lose. One thing, listen, have the volume. You have the spirit. You have to have the spiritual part of it, but it usually brings about volume. It's good to say. It really is. Praise God. And to really think about singing. Tomorrow evening, Lord willing, sermon I hope that you are looking forward to. The restoration plea. Restoration plea. A plea that we have among churches of Christ to restore the church as it was in the beginning. And what has happened, how the church was at the beginning, the falling away, and then finally the effort for ourselves to restore the church as it was. Have we done that? Have we done that completely? Well, we'll see tomorrow night. And I believe we'll be using some illustrations and talking about some of those preachers of the restoration movement that will just be of real encouragement to you. You ever think that when the restoration movement was basically, we'll just round it off to the 1800s, okay? Think about our country. Where was our country then? See, that's just the beginning of our country. And so there were these people that built this country, had the idea of here is going to be a Christian nation. And here comes this effort. Let's get back to the Bible as it was back in the first century. So we'll talk about that tomorrow night. And then on the last evening, Wednesday night, we will talk about concerning eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. Our lesson tonight is entitled, Where Are the Dead? I'm sure that since Adam and Eve, perhaps whatever they did with Abel, bury him or whatever, they probably asked themselves the question, what's happened here? Where has he gone? What is this life? What is all of this about? Is there a soul of man? Is there something within man that lives after this body decays? Where are the dead? I believe it is a question that has been asked for ages and ages, and people will be continued to be asked, because I talk to people quite often, have quite a number of funerals, and they're concerned of where people are after this body is decaying and gone. I believe that the first thing that we need to do here is ask ourselves, before we concentrate on the idea of where the dead are, where are we here on this earth? Where are we here? So that's going to be our first thought, is to try to figure out from the scriptures as to just exactly where we are while we're here upon this earth. Now you can see, I hope, from the chart that is before us on the screen, that here upon this earth, while we are here, there are three places we can be, and only three. We can either be in the kingdom of nature that you will notice up there, or we can be in the devil's kingdom, a lost state, or we can be in a saved state, which is in the kingdom of Christ. Now think with me, every one of us here, every person here is in one of those three places. You are in the kingdom of nature, which I mean by that, little children, people that have never reached the age of accountability, or on some occasions, people that are mentally have a problem, have a challenge, and never really do reach the age of accountability. Kingdom of nature, we're calling that. Those that are not accountable to themselves, to God. And then secondly, lost or saved. We're either children or we're lost or saved. One or the other. It's just that simple, is it not? Now, not only are we that way, but every person on this earth, every person in the world is in one of those three places. One of those three. Looking at a verse from Matthew 18:3. And again, I would encourage that you turn and learn with us. We're going to turn to a few verses tonight, and I'll give you sufficient time to turn to each one of these before I read them. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. We're looking at the little children. Because you see, there are some folk. John Calvin started out with the doctrine, and he said, listen to me. He said, there will be babies in hell not a span long. You know how long a span is? Right there. Large finger there to my thumb. That's a span. And that man, as knowledgeable as he was of Scripture, as knowledgeable as he was to see the faults of the religious world of that day, just brought in the false doctrine, there'll be babies in hell, not a span long. I say that's the doctrine of the devil. Do you say amen? Yeah. Because look what Jesus said here in Matthew 18 and verse 3. Verily I say unto you, truly that means, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now if little children were lost, notice what Jesus would be saying. You need to be converted and become lost. But we know that the Bible teaches us that children are in a safe, S-A-F-E, safe condition, and Jesus wants us to be in a safe condition. And he says in order to be that way, you and I need to be converted. That means changed. It means changed. So when Jesus says this in Matthew 18:3, he leaves no question. No question but the fact that little children are not lost. They're not saved because you can't be saved until you're lost. They're in a safe condition. Now, it is true that sometimes children bear the consequences of the parents' sin. If dad's a sot, drunkard, probably to supply that demand of his body for alcohol, he takes bread off the table and the little children suffer the consequences of dad's sin, but not to sin. See? So the Bible teaches us and teaches us clearly that little children are in a safe condition. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Verse 13. Paul, as he writes to the church at Colossae, he says this. Speaking about the Father there in verse 12. Notice this, the Father. And then verse 13, he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Paul says, we were once in this power of darkness, Satan's realm. We were once lost, but now we have been translated, we have been moved, we have been changed until we are now in the kingdom of his dear Son. So notice the chart again. You are either an infant, child in the kingdom of nature, or lost in the kingdom of Satan, or saved in God's kingdom. one of three places. Paul said, we were once in the power of darkness, ruled by the devil, but now we're in the kingdom of his Son. Now, there are two ways out of each one of these places. Two ways out. As a child can die as a child, can die as one never being accountable to God. In our family, Tricky and I, we had a baby that was stillborn. The child wasn't lost, but died in that situation. A second way out of this kingdom of nature is to grow up and be accountable to God. James chapter 1, I'm going to turn to this, but about 14 and 15, somewhere in there, it talks about how sin comes about. So, to get out of the kingdom of nature, can die there, and we'll see where they go to, or can grow up to be accountable and then enter into the devil's kingdom to be lost. Now again, I emphasize to you that children do not go from the kingdom of nature immediately into the kingdom of God. Must first go in to Satan's kingdom. You can't be saved until you're lost. See? So the child can't be saved until they're first lost. Once they realize they're lost, they're accountable for their sins, then two ways out of the devil's kingdom, two ways out of Satan's kingdom, two ways out of that place where you are lost in that realm. One way is to die. To die. To die as a lost person. See? To die as a member of Satan's kingdom. Or the second way out is to become a Christian. To become a saved person. To repent of our sins and be baptized according to Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We become then a saved person. Our sins are forgiven. We're a saved person and we are thus in God's kingdom. Now, in God's kingdom, two ways out. Okay? Die there as a faithful child of God. That's what you and I are aiming for, is it not? That's what we want to do. We want to die as faithful children of God. Be faithful to Him until we leave this earth. Would you turn with me to 2 Peter? Book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. Now you might ask, why would preacher read such verses to you tonight? I am of the persuasion that if it's in the New Testament, we ought to be able to talk about it. That if it's there, we should desire to learn. Because we're going to read some tough verses here. I hope you gag. Yeah, I hope you do. We're talking about two ways out of God's kingdom. The first way was to die a faithful Christian, right? But you can also get out of God's kingdom, you can die an unfaithful Christian. Last couple of verses of 2 Peter chapter 2. Here's verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. He is saying, people, that it would be better for us never to know Jesus than to once know Him and turn our back to Him, to become unfaithful to Him. Now, does that mean the person that never knows Him is saved? Nope. Still lost. But better to never have known than to know him and then turn from his holy commandment. 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. We lived in northern Mississippi one time, and a man there had several pigs, sows, hogs. And it would get so hot there in northern Mississippi. Oh, the sun would just bear down sometime in the summer. And this man would get out there with a hose, and he'd just spray all these hogs. Boy, he'd just spray them. Boy, they get so nice and clean. All that old sloppy mud would get off of them. Yeah. He'd just spray them. And boy, they must have loved that. It must have felt so good to them. And after, pretty soon, he'd turn the water off, and guess what those old hogs would do? And they'd look for that old sloppy mud hole, yeah, and right in it they'd go. You know what he's saying here? He's saying here that a Christian, a person that becomes a child of God and then turns his back on Jesus and goes back to the world, is like that old hog going back to the mud. Now, if that isn't enough to disgust you, look at the others, illustration. Beginning at 22, it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. Now that's in your Bible. I'm not making this up. You've seen that dog. I've seen that dog. Then turn around and eat it. You say, preacher, that's disgusting. I know it is. And God wants us to see that it is disgusting for a person to become a Christian and then turn their back on Jesus and walk back with the devil again. He wants us to see how terrible, how vomiting situation this is. Yeah. And preacher makes it ugly. Well, it is ugly. If you are a backslider, if you were once a faithful child of God and you quit serving him, you quit worshiping him, you are like that dog and you need to change your ways. And if you don't, you're going to die that way and lose your soul in a devil's hell. Change your life if you're that way. Now let's see what we've got here. You see, each one of those has two ways out. Notice how we have it. In the kingdom of nature there, you see that a person can mature and right there by the U, grow up, be accountable, be lost. Or way up above the word nature, way above the N, you see it goes straight through death into paradise. So the child can either die in that situation and go to paradise, or grow up, mature, and become lost. In the lost, the devil's kingdom, a person can die that way and go into torments, or as you see the arrow going up, can go into God's kingdom by becoming a Christian, repenting of their sins, and being baptized. Once you're in God's kingdom, die a faithful child of God, go into paradise, or as the arrow goes down, an unfaithful child of God into torment. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We're going to look at the last half of this chapter and hopefully see concerning what we have on our chart there concerning where are the dead. Now to begin with, we've got to understand that what Jesus said here was said during the Mosaical period of Bible history. It was said before Jesus died on the cross. Because when Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, he ushered in the Christian age. Before that, it was the Mosaic age. So we've got to understand that at the very beginning here. So we are going to begin in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. I would have you understand also that Larry Arnold believes, and Larry Arnold believes very strongly, that either this situation did happen or it could happen. That this is not a parable. You hear me? You see, there are some people who believe this is a parable. There are some religious groups who believe this is talking about Jews and Gentiles. I believe this strongly, that this is either a story that Jesus knew took place, it actually did happen, or it could happen. It's not to illustrate something else. It's there in truth. Jesus begins in verse 19 of Luke 16 by saying, "There was a certain rich man." Not just a rich man or a person, but a certain rich man. And notice, "which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." How would you like to live like that? That's a pretty good life, isn't it? Here he had clothing of fine linen. The best that the world could offer was his clothing. And he fared what? Sumptuously every day. Oh, he just filled his tummy up. He had all that he could want to eat. He fared sumptuously every day. Indeed, he was well cared for. He must have been extremely wealthy. And there was, verse 20, a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now we've got in verse 19 the rich man, and then in verse 20, a certain beggar named Lazarus. Not just a certain beggar, see, but a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, at the rich man's gate. And this man Lazarus, this beggar, the book says here, he was full of sores. Picture the scene. I don't know how you're going to picture this rich man in his castle or great majesty of a house or whatever. But outside he must have had a fence out there and a gate out there, and here is this beggar out there named Lazarus. And the book says that his body is full of sores. Verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs. People, he didn't want a slice of bread. If he could just get some crumbs. Can you see the terribleness of this beggar situation? Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, and moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. Here is this man that is in so much agony, that is hurting so much, that he can't even fend off the dogs. And here they are lapping at his sores. Terrible situation. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's up there on the chart. Abraham's bosom. The beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Nothing said about burying the body of the beggar Lazarus. The rich man must have had some sort of an elaborate funeral. You can imagine what it must have been like. But Lazarus, nothing said there concerning his funeral. I've read where the customs of the time were. When a beggar like this died, he's usually out on the street. And the old trash man, garbage man, would come by in some sort of a cart. They'd just throw the body on the cart, wheel it out to the town dump, and throw it out. That's probably what was done with Lazarus' body there. But again, the rich man, he had an elaborate funeral, did he not? He was buried. but not poor Lazarus. Now verse 23, and in hell, your translation probably says in Hades. Hades is the better translation. Hades, as we've got it on our chart, is the unseen abode of all the dead, both righteous and unrighteous. The unseen abode of all the dead. And we use an illustration here that I have never personally witnessed myself, but I have read that before my time, that's a long time ago, right? Before my time, this is the way people spoke. Ever grow potatoes? Probably some of you have been growing potatoes. And now when they grow potatoes, they just dig a big old trench, you know, and throw those seed potatoes in there and cover it up with straw. But used to, we didn't have it that easy. We had to dig a trench or even sometimes just a hole and put a potato in there. And when the potatoes began to grow, they seemed like they always grew up. Just multiplied there and more. Of course, the ground was softer up above. And after a while, those potatoes would start coming out of the ground. And what we would do is we'd get the old hoe and fill the potatoes. Right? You done that? Nobody? Me? Yeah, you done that. Fill potatoes. Now, a few years before our time, they didn't call it hilling potatoes. They called it helling potatoes, H-E-L-L, because they were covering them up. And the word hell at one time meant cover up. See? Unseen, see? Cover up. Get it? Unseen abode of the potatoes, yeah. Unseen abode of the dead. So that's the idea of Hades, the unseen abode of the dead. But back in our King James, when it was translated in 1611, hell carried that idea. And so it is translated hell in our King James translation. But it is Hades. And in Hades he lift up his eyes, in the unseen abode of all of the dead. He lift up his eyes, being in torments. That's what you'll see there. Bottom part, torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, in Abraham's bosom. And he cried and said, this rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Here is this rich man. He is in torments. He is suffering in flame, and he wants to be able to get just a drop of water, just a drop of water to cool his tongue. I have never, ever been that hot or that thirsty. That one drop of water would help out. I've said probably sometimes, you know, I'm so thirsty I'm going to die. But that wasn't true. You may have said that yourself, you know. But were you ever this thirsty or this much in torment that one drop could help you obtain relief? But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he, Lazarus, is comforted, and thou art tormented. So what's happened here? Back to this old earth, where the rich man seemingly had everything, and Lazarus had nothing, and they die, and their situations become just the opposite. The rich man had nothing. He couldn't even get a drop of water. And the beggar Lazarus is comforted. Verse 26, can't go between us, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf. You see it there on the chart. There's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There is absolutely no person that's here, that's going to come up here, or any person that's here, is going to be able to go there. Now, have you heard this that if a person dies today in a certain religion, and they're really not really a terrible person, but they're not good enough to be saved, and they die, and if enough prayers can be said back on this earth, that person will get lifted up to the good place. Not here. Not here. No moving up or down. 26 again. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. All right, he said then, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Why? Why send Lazarus back to the earth to his father's house? For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So he says, I've got five brothers back on the earth, and I don't want them to come to this terrible place. Hear me. Listen real carefully. I am not a judge. I do not know. My father died in 1946. He was 39 years of age. And I pretty well know for a fact that he was never in any kind of church building all of his life. I have heard him make fun of, quote, church-going people. He was just not anything close to a Christian. He was a wife beater. He was an alcoholic. He died at the age of 39. I do not know. I do not know, and I am not saying that my father is lost. I know what scriptures say. But I'm not the judge. I am not saying my father is lost. But I say this, if he is, he doesn't want Larry to be lost. Shake your head. That's right. He doesn't want me to be lost. I hear so many people say, well, my dear old mother, she's gone. And she never became a Christian. She was never baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And if she's lost, I want to be lost too. She doesn't want you to be lost if she is. I am not her judge. I am not my father's judge. But I know for a fact from what the Bible says here that if that person is lost and they do not want you to be lost. No, they don't. Listen to what this rich man said. 28 again. I have five brethren. They may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. As I said, I do not say my father is lost. But if he is lost, he is saying, Larry, don't you ever come to this terrible place of torment. If you've got a lost relative going on, they don't want you to be lost. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. You see, that's who they had at the time. They had the Old Testament law, Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. For us today, it would be we have Jesus and his apostles. Let us hear them. He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Jesus might have been talking about his own resurrection here. I'm not sure. But I know this. I know this, people. Listen. There are some people saying, oh, if I could just see a miracle. If I just went out there to the graveyard and someone raised from the dead, man, I'd be a believer. Book says not so. If you cannot believe Jesus and the inspired men that wrote this book, if you can't believe them, you wouldn't be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You realize what that's saying? How much you must trust this book? When Jesus was on the cross, talking to the thief, he said to the thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in where? Paradise." Paradise. Now he was still alive, Jesus hanging there on the cross, and he said to the thief, "Today, not a week from today, but today, the very day that Jesus died," he said, "today, Mr. Thief, you are going to be with me in paradise." John chapter 20. Oh, we're going to learn something here. Okay? Turn and learn. John chapter 20. Really good verse. Really good verse. Now, in John chapter 20, Jesus has already gone to the cross. He's already died on the cross. He's already been put in the tomb. And that Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. And after he rose from the dead, he walked some 40 days on this earth, and many people saw him. Now, during that 40 days is what we're going to read about after he rose from the dead. Now, remember, back when he was on the cross, he said, "Mr. Thief, today you'll be with me in paradise." He's been buried. He's been resurrected. Now he's walking on this earth. Verse 17 of John 20. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not." Some translations say something like, "Don't delay me. For I am not yet ascended to my Father." You got that? I have not yet ascended to my Father. Where'd he been? Paradise. Remember, he told the thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And then, after Jesus had placed in the tomb, gone to paradise, resurrected, and on this earth he comes in a resurrected body, he said, "I haven't been yet to the Father." Where'd he been? Paradise. See it up there? That's the good side of Hades. Paradise. Abraham's bosom. So at death, we all go into the Hadean realm. Saved into a place. Paradise, Abraham's bosom. The folks, the children that have never reached the age of accountability, die that way. Paradise, Abraham's bosom. For the person that dies in a lost situation, not a Christian, or the person that has become a Christian and becomes a backslider, at death, into the place of torment. Well, is that all there is to it, preacher? No. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. For all the dead are going to stand before God in judgment. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Judgment scene for us makes it just as clear as anything could be. Verse 11. Revelation 20, 11. "And I saw a great white throne." We pictured it as somewhat of a throne up here. "And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great." Small and great people means prominent people and common folks. Wealthy people, poor folks, all people, the small and great, the noted and the unknown, small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. Now, we don't know what these books are right now. See, we'll see here in just a second or so. "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." Now, if you go down to the last part of verse 15, or the middle part of verse 15, not found written in the book of life. That's God's record of his people then. So back to 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, whatever that be right now, were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, God's record of his family. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Now, that means you and I are going to be judged out of those things written in the books, whatever that be. What do you suppose it be? You're right. It's these books. Books of the New Testament for us. Those that lived under the Old Testament be judged by the books of the Old Testament. But you and I live under the New Testament, so we're going to be judged by the books of the New Testament. And I saw the dead, 12 again, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. There they are, right there before us. Books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That is saying, on this judgment day, we shall stand here, and the books of the New Testament will be opened, and we might say on the other side will be our works. And our works will be compared with what the New Testament teaches us. If there is a good comparison, people, it'll be good for our soul. But if the comparison is not there, if our works do not line up with what the books say, it shall be lost for us. Which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and there were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written there? Page, right and fair. Are you a faithful child of God? We shall someday each stand before God in judgment. Where are you? Right now. Right now, where are you? You could be in a saved condition. If you're not, you could be in a saved condition. If you're lost and you die that way, you can see clearly from what we've shown you tonight that you're going to be in a devil's hell forever and ever. You don't want that. You want to be saved. You can be. Where are you tonight? If we can help you become a Christian by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, oh, please come to people like you can. If you are a backslider, need to come back to the Lord. Do it. Where are you? Think about it as we stand and sing together.